Morning, Gemara Chasima Tova, and we are looking at what the Shilas and Tshuva literature, responsa literature, says about Tshuva. So Tshuvas on Tshuva. Let me begin first of all with the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, when he talks about a mumar l'avodah zarah, someone who's an apostate, who's embedded in idolatry. So he says, it's like the Hotel California. You know, you can check out, but you can't leave, as Eagles say. You have no idea what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. Okay, but in any case, so he says, we cannot accept such a person in Tshuva. Says, Haminim ni Yisrael, Einam ki Yisrael davim advarim. I've got it written, he writes it here. Ve'im akabal asam b'tshuva lo'oilam. Then someone asked the Rambam that in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says, "Bamed dvarim amurim regarding mumrim minim apikorsim shekol echad me'elu eilo chelak olam haba, when they don't have a chelak in olam haba, k'shemeis b'lo tshuva. That's only if they died without having done tshuva. Aval im shav mirisho v'ubal tshuva hareze b'nei mibnei olam haba. But if a person repented, they are a member of olam haba. She'ein l'cho davar she'oime b'fnei tshuva." Nothing stands in the place or in the way of teshuva. And so the person asks the Rambam that this appears to be a stira, contradiction, in the Rambam between the two halachas. One halacha which he says, a mumer, l'avodah zarah, cannot be accepted, called ba'ei lo yeshuvan, we will not accept him. And the other says, ein davar oime b'fnei teshuva. So this is a question that is pointed out by numerous achronim, some of them who did not see the letter of the Rambam answering it, and they give different answers to the Rambam himself. It's a type of like that joke about the people who go to Olam Haba and they're talking about a stira in the Rambam, and then this elderly Sephardi man comes over and says, "I think the answer is this." Turns out it's the Rambam. They say, "Sephardi doesn't know how to learn Rambam." It's like sort of briska hakira. But anyway, but the Rambam says that the answer is very simple. Have a look at the second paragraph of that Rambam. Masha atem choshvin l'stira b'dara minim ein bo stira klal. What you think is a contradiction, no contradiction at all. Very simple. Echad mishnei ma'amarim ein mekablin oisoi b'tshuva. You have to read it carefully. One of the ma'amarim, one of the statements says, we don't accept him in tshuva. Ratsa lomar bazeh. What I meant to say here is, she'anu lo nekabel mehem behem tshuva, we don't accept them. We, the community, will not accept an apostate who has been involved in Avodah Zarah. We won't accept him into the community. Why? We'll assume he's still a min, as they were. Because Hatzadekus Shehem Marim, he or Mesiba Sapachad, or Lignoib Das Abrius. Because the righteousness that they are displaying is either because they're scared of the community, or it's in order to deceive the community. So that's why I said we don't accept such a person. However, v'zeh ha'maimah ha'achron, where I said that nothing stands in front of tshuva, she'im shavu be'emes b'mashabeinam le'bein borim, if they did indeed return in repentance between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's some makoros over at the front here if anyone wants. Yeshem chaylek lo'olam ha'zeh dim daba mashabeinam le'bein borim. That's between them and Hashem. Because of Moshe, signed Moshe. Meaning, the Rambam says that there are, this is the Rambam saying to din, right? The Rambam says that when it comes to a min, meaning someone who's been totally embedded in idolatry, such a person should not be accepted by the community, even if he seems to be a Baal Tshuva. Why, he says? Because he might be deceiving us, or he might be scared. So either way, we don't accept such a person. However, from the Klapei Shmaya, from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, such a person is always accepted because nothing stands in the way of tshuva. Now, it's interesting, Rav Moshe Sternbuch has in his Perush on Hilchos Tshuva there, Rav Moshe Sternbuch's Medayek from the Rambam. The Rambam says that the reason we don't accept them as a community is because they are doing it either out of fear of the community or to deceive community. However, as Sternbuch says, one thing is clear. If we could establish that the person is not doing tshuva out of fear, and because there's no fear of the Jewish community nowadays, and he's not doing it to deceive people, and we have seem to have evidence that he is sincere, we'd accept him. So Rustemov says, even more than the Rambam, from the Rambam himself, it appears that in the circumstances about which the Rambam was talking, we wouldn't accept such a person. But in our circumstances today, if you have a sincere person, even though he was part of Avodah Zarah, he was involved in Avodah Zarah, we too would accept him, just as the Kodesh Baruch Hu accepts him. So that's the first of our tshuvas. Similar tshuva is from the Rashbash, Rav Shlomo ben Shimon Duran. So, not Duran, but Rav Shimon ben Duran. Okay, so he says the following. He's got the questions following. B'nei Eilu Amashumodim, Hanikra Anusim, Ha'arelim. So, people who were Anusim. So, he is in the 15th century, as you can see. So, in his time, after the riots in Spain, 1391, so you had a whole range of Jews. Many were killed, but tens of thousands converted to Christianity. Many of them, we don't know percentages, many of them converted and became Christians straight up. However, many of them, and I would like to believe the majority, were Anusim, crypto-Jews, meaning they kept Torah secretly, they kept Christianity openly. Anusim, and they were, we call them Anusim, they were forced to do this. Arelim, and obviously if they grew up second generation, they're not going to be circumcised. That would be a giveaway for the Inquisition. So some of these people, when they left the Iberian Peninsula, when they left those areas that were under the control of the Inquisition, Shebaim Lachzor b'tshuva, now they want to return and do tshuva. Sarich levarer dinam b'inyan tshuvosam milosam utfilosam. We need to clarify regarding what they need to do in terms of tshuva, regarding bris milah, regarding tefillah, immersion in the mikveh. So the first thing he says is, I'm not going to read the whole thing. He says, Oymer shadinam huki Yisrael chol divrayim, halacha ravachasi b'Yisrael, Yisrael meshumet al pishachata Yisrael. Gemara in Sanhedrin and in Bechoras, the Gemara says, regarding Achan, that Achan who steals or looted Yericho after the Cherem, so Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Chata Yisrael, and the Gemara there says, yes, Chata, yes, he sinned, but Yisrael, because of Mishachata Yisrael, who, and as Rashi over there says, Adayin Shem Kedushosom Aleihem. The name of Kedusha is still on this person, even though he has sinned. It is interesting, just as an aside, that there is a tradition that the second paragraph of Aleinu was written by Achan. Signed his name in the first three words, Al Kei Nekave, Ayin Chaf Nun. And it's interesting, that would not be random, because he is the person of hope, because even though he's sinned, he's still a Yisrael. Al Kei Nekave, so we can have hope too. So that's the Avbi Shechata Yisrael Hu. So Achan is one from whom we learn Avbi Shechata Yisrael Hu, and he says what that means is, and he quotes the Gemara, da filu goy haba al bas Yisrael umushumedes, zera zara al sof koladoris Yisrael, who she, her children, her children's children, till the end of all generations, are still 100% Jewish. We could establish maternal descent from a Meshubet, even someone converted in 1391, and now, you know, we can determine that on the mother's side they're Jewish, they're 100% Jewish, the Kedushin is Kedushin, and so on and so forth. And there's a very famous Rambam, I didn't quote here, but in the Geres Teiman, where the Rambam says regarding a Jew who has gone far away, who became a Muslim, etc., etc., and he says there, Afilu Yerovam ben Nevat, Shchikat Samas, even Yerovam, evil king, he says, Shechata behichti es Yisrael, who sinned and caused Jews to sin, he says, Chayev leishev besukah besukas, he's got to sit in the sukkah on sukkahs too. And he's got to say a bracha. And that is a standard halacha. It's a story which is in the Siddur Agro, Keser Rosh, and the Ruchaim Volozhin brings it, and the Gro is in some inn, somewhere in Lita, and a Jewish innkeeper, and an apikoros walked in. I don't know how he knew he was an apikoros, but okay, right. An apikoros walks in, maybe he had a t-shirt, apikoros and proud or something like that, right? So he walks in and he says, like a beer, and the gro says to the innkeeper, don't give him a beer, he won't make a brocha. And the guy laughs, he says, do you know the averus that I do? I do everything in the book. And the Gros says, so what? It says the fact that you do Averis Chamuras does not exempt you from any mitzvah, no matter how lenient, no matter how insignificant it is. You are still a Jew and you're still chayiv in everything. And with the words of the Gros, the guy, you know, burst into tears, did tshuva on the spot, obviously, right? And I've tried this, it hasn't worked for me. But he did tshuva on the spot, and he was niskabel tshuvosoi. So that is the idea, and that we see from the Gros, that we see from the Rambam, and that we see here from the Rashbash, that basically that is how we treat him. And then if you go to the next bold-faced area, achat. So he says, in the next bold-faced area, in the Rashbash, Achashin is barer, she'ein lahem din gerim, in kain ein lo dim tas mitzvos kalos v'chamuros v'onsham. Once we understand that even though this person has become an apostate, he converted to Christianity openly or the extent of it is not really, doesn't really matter regarding this halacha. Hadover as a muchra ma'atzmo u'shim toimeshu ein aroitza l'kablam in kain niftaro sam mehem kagoy. If you say you don't want to accept them into the community, then what you're basically saying is they're non-Jews. Chalila b'chas shloi al saladas l'vishu mechuyev behen kamono. He is mechuyev in the mitzvahs like we are, no matter what he has done. He is still mechuyev in all the mitzvahs, as we see from the Gros, as we saw from the Rambam earlier, as we see from the Gemara regarding Achan. And this, by the way, is cited in the Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch, ein l'yara u'l'vahaloi. You should not cause him to be afraid. You should not shock him, because what are you supposed to do with an actual ger? You're supposed to scare them a bit. You know what I mean? Last week, if you smoked on Shabbos, all you got was cancer. This week, it's a skillet, right? So therefore, you scare them, and you are supposed to tell them that the mitzvah, saveris, chamuris, you don't do that with a bal tshuva who is a mummer and is coming back to Yiddishkeit. And he says, aval l'mashchoi chesed, one should draw him close with kindness. Mushba v'oyle mesinaihu v'oyneshu aleyem k'shemekayna noydelem schark v'koyen gadol. Yes, he is mushba v'oymen har Sinai. He will be punished for all the averis he did. But on the other hand, when he fulfills them, he gets the schar, exactly as the Torah says. And he goes on to say that he does not need tefillah. That is actually a machloikas rishonim about tefillah. Some say that a person who is a mumala avodah zara might require tefillah, but not. And that tefillah, and the significant, that tefillah can be done at night time. Why? Because it's not medin gerus. It's medin tumas avodah zara. Person who is in avodah zara, they're tamei. And avodah zara is matame, as we know, the Gemara learns it that it's matame. And since it's matame, you have tefillah. The fact that tefillah can be done at night, because generally mishpat, a judgment, cannot be done at night; it has to be done during the day. That tefillah is done at night. Clearly, it's not a tefillah of shein geirus. It's obviously a tefillah l'shein tahara. And if you skip down to the next bold-faced part here, Hashem Yisparach Yerapenu Rufus Gufa Nefesh Yamtzi L'Hashasei Gufaseinu Margoa V'Nofesh. Marveris Hayetad Soifel Tzadik very beautifully described. Sheeshan Chofesh V'Tavena B'Kas Oyav Eishmo V'Yedida Barachmav Karoiv Chasadav. He says he also davens, which, by the way, is a question which we, if we have time, we might address. Davening that someone should do tshuva seems to be problematic, as the Maharsha asks regarding Reb Meir, who was being attacked and by hooligans and thugs, Biryone. And he says to his wife, Bruri, I'm gonna daven that they die. She says, what? No. Yitama chatoim in ha'aretz u'sham odeinam. Right? The reason there are no more Rishoyim is not because they're going to die, it's because they do tshuva. Chatoim, right? There's no more sin. So he agrees with her, and he davens they do tshuva, and indeed they do tshuva. So the Maharsha in the Gemara Brachos over there asks, this is how is that possible? Kol bidei shamayim, chutz miyira shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven. So how could you possibly daven that they do tshuva? I mean, Hashem is not supposed to intervene in something like that. It's bidei shamayim. It's bidei odom, it's not bidei shamayim. So how does he daven that they do tshuva? And we do that as well. Hashiveinu avinu l'sorasecha. We daven that. We should be, Hashem should help us do tshuva. And there are tefillos which were composed by Gedolim in previous generations to daven for people specifically that they should do tshuva. So the question of the Maharsha, which by the way, Maharsha doesn't answer, stands. There's two answers. I mean, there's a few answers, but the Igros Moshe answers, Moshe Feinstein answers that basically what you're davening for is that he should be in circumstances that are conducive to tshuva. So he should hear a good drosha. He should go to a shul with Geshmak davening. He should, whatever it is, right, that is in the hands of heaven. Whether he makes the final decision to do tshuva or not, that's obviously bidei Adam. That's Yiras Shamayim, it's bidei Adam. But the circumstances can either be conducive to tshuva or not. And that is how the Igros Moshe understands it. The Chazon Ish in Likutim, at the end of, like in Sefer Chazon Ish, he's got a section of Likutim on Chumash. So the Chazon Ish has a very interesting answer. He says, it's only a problem for Hashem to intervene if humans don't request the intervention. But if we request the intervention, that's not Hashem interfering. Right? Because if, let's say, when some imperialist power like the United States invades a country, Panama, whatever, right, generally the claim is that the inhabitants, democratic forces in the country, asked us to intervene. Now, if that's true, that would be fine. Right? If the population asked the other power to intervene, that would not be an intervention. The people of the country wanted it, to get rid of this totalitarian dictator. Right? So Chazon Ish says, if we ask Hashem to intervene, that's our bechira, which means it's bidei Adam. Right? Hakol bidei Shamayim, chutz miyirashamayim, but part of my yirashamayim is asking Hashem to help me. So he says that. Now, what about asking for someone else? Right? He says that Kol Yisrael kaguf echad hein, as the Ritva says, we're all like one body. So I'm asking for another one, for one limb is asking for Hashem to help another limb. So that's a Chazon Ish. Igros Moshe quotes that answer, not from the Chazon Ish. He says he heard someone answer this and he doesn't like it. He says it doesn't make sense. Okay, but then that's the Rashbash regarding the person who's returning from being a mumar, and he says very clearly that Avav Yishchot Yisrael Hu, even if it was Avodah Zarah, and he says that ein levahaloi, ein liyaro, don't make him afraid, don't shock him. No tefillah is required, although, as I said, there are posts can be required tefillah because of the tumas avodah zara, but not because of geirus. And at the very end, he says, alkeinu v'kevasen hatzlech na le'evin anikra shmoy kach u'meshoich alav chastecha k'shem she'tis liboy lasu b'tshuva shleim alafanecha ken tita b'liboy ahavaska b'yiraska. He ends with a very beautiful tefillah that as HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped this person to do tshuva, so you should also plant in his heart the love and the fear of Hashem and guide him in the mitzvahs. So he is doing a tefillah for the other person and following, I don't know what was in the mind of the Rashbash when he made this tefillah, but following the minag of Klal Yisrael, which is to do that. So again, we have the Rambam, who distinguishes between HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepting a Baal Tshuva and the community. And he says if it's a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah, we don't accept him. And then we have Rav Sternbuch, who deduces from the Rambam's answer that it's only if there's reason to suspect that he's returning in Tshuva mipachad, out of fear, or lignoiv da sabrias, or to deceive people. But if we would have evidence, as we do nowadays, someone who returns to Yiddishkeit, a great Mesiris Nefesh, and the opposition of friends and family, etc., such a person we assume is sincere, even if he came from Avodah Zarah. And we see in the Rashbash a very similar understanding. In the Ramah, Tshuvas of the Ramah, he has a fascinating tshuva, and it's really, I just want to quote it for one important component. As you probably know, the Hasidei Ashkenaz, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, the Rabbi Elazar Rakeach from Worms, etc., had tikkunei tshuva. They had a whole range of things that one has to do in order to really do tshuva for averus, involving fasting and involving suffering and involving a lot of incurring yisurim upon oneself. And a very vast literature of tikkunei tshuva from the Rakeach and from the Sefer Hasidim and from others. And there's debates in historians, which would leave for Revel, regarding the motivation of the Hasidei Ashkenaz in doing that. Be that as it may, there are definitely tikkunei tshuva. And the Ramah refers to them. We'll see a few tshuvas referring to them. But the important part in the Ramah is the following. The case he's got is a guy who's driving, he's in the carriage, and he's got a Jewish worker, a na'ar, if you look in the second paragraph, ha'ish ha'noichachi, nikra ploni ben ploni, I'm not going to give you his name, ashele ilkim ino liyodoi shenosei mesharsoi, ashe avoi ala agola. He had a young lad who he loved. He almost adopted him, who is working for him, and the lad is, the teenager is driving the carriage for him. So the boy is on the horses, driving the carriage. And he is in the carriage. And in his hand is a musket, like an old, the old guns. Veratza lifnoisa, velizroik malah, velirois elashamayim. He wanted to clean it. So he's cleaning his musket in order to, and he wanted to, going to fire it up in the sky, up towards the sky. The kasher heirim abarzel aleya ha'even ashenoisim eish v'nicha aleya. When he lifted up the mechanism that sparks off the fire in the musket, ba sotn besoicha v'yotza be'eish im even barzel asher besoicha. It shot the ball of ammunition out of the musket. Ela eglon azev v'yimisa, and it killed the teenager who was driving the carriage. So he's cleaning his, I mean, look, I was in the Israeli army. I mean, cleaning a rifle on a Jeep is not, that would not be protocol, right? You know, so, but okay, this guy is on the, I mean, you don't do that, right? But he's on the agala and he's cleaning his rifle. The kasher habarzel al ha'evan ha'shanoism. So he says, so it killed the driver. Who was the boy that he employed, Jewish boy that he employed, he killed him. So now, he says, Ra hanoichach kinis galgal choyva al yadoi, ba'al chocham shavira bikish menesh yifaloi tshuva. So this man comes to the rov of his city and asks him, what do I have to do tshuva for this terrible avera? That I killed someone by accident. Shalom min ha'maisa sheyasev, ader sheyasev, v'kavaloi in yonim ad sheyavo heina kal kodesh krakow, kashem mavu b'ksoboi. And his rov gave him a very heavy obligation in terms of fasting, heavy obligation in terms of yisurin to accept upon himself, and so on and so forth. The Ramah, however, writes the following. This is a very important chiddush. He says, "Hinei ra'inu ki amaisahu korov la'oines." This is an action which is close to an oines. Ve'ein lo afilu din shoygeg. I don't even think this is considered negligence. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the reality of a musket. I used M16 and Uzi. But frankly, I would have said this is closer to a mazid than a shot. But the Ramah says isn't honest. Honest. He says, Kol shekein din mazid, afilu din shoyin kol shekein din mazid, l'tzadet lo tshuva mitok divrei harakeach. He says, I don't believe, he says, that to look at him as a mazid, or even as a shoygeg, I don't think is possible. You have to look at this guy as an onus beyond his control. Ki hu lo kiven, and he says the following, very important. Hu lo kiven rak el hamordim v'apoishim. All of the various tshuvas that are required by the rokeach and the chassidei Ashkenaz, he says are only for mordim v'apoishim, those who deliberately are rebelling against the Torah, and those who are deliberately transgressing, not out of rebellion, but out of desire. Asher oizvim darkam lashuv. They abandon the path of tshuva. Avaloyal ashoigigim v'ha'anusim. So this is an important chiddush of the Ramah, that the tshuva that is required, the atonement and the suffering, etc., required by Chassidei Ashkenaz, is only for a genuine mazid. For someone who's a shoigeg, and someone who's an honest, not required. And he says, in this case, I see that the guy is a shoigeg, korov la'oines. He's not even a shoigeg, he's an oines, and hence it doesn't require this. Interestingly, Kotzke Rebbe asked a chassid what he's doing to prepare for Yom Kippur. It was Aser Semei Tshuva. He says, what are you doing to prepare for Yom Kippur? So the chassid says, I roll in the snow every day. That is one of the features of the what they used to do. He says, I roll in the snow every day. I eat only raw oats, raw oatmeal, and drink cold water. I have stones in my shoe, and I have the gabbai of the shul beat me every morning. So the Kotzke puts his arm around him, takes him to the window and he says, points out, he says, "What do you see out there?" The guy says, "A ferd, a horse." So the Kotzka says, "The horse rolls in the snow every day. The horse eats cold oats and drinks cold water. It gets whipped every day. It has stones in its shoes. And it blibed a ferd. It's still a horse." So the Kotzka says, not necessarily will suffering create a better person or a tzaddik. Right? But either way, that is what the Ramos says, that the suffering required, the tikkunei tshuva required by the Rakeach and others is really not for a shoigeg or for an onos. It is only for a mordim va'poishim. He says, however, he does require achzera inu, toivloshi yisanem ahayom ad lachi yom kippurim. He should fast from today till after Yom Kippur every day. Except for the days where there's no tachnun, lizvados b'chol yom erev voike, and certainly today, say a vidui every morning and every evening, beino lebein atzmad tom shana shlema, for an entire year. In other words, he at the end of the day, he killed someone. He killed someone, and he requires tshuva for this. Ve'achakach yikva oisa yom she'ira bo hamaisa yom b'chiyelo l'doiris lis'anos osa yom. He should set the day in which he did kill this boy. That should be a day of crying and a day of tshuva for him and for all his family for generations. Right? He should treat it like the yortzeit of his father, which is a day where the Shulchan Aruch says we fast. Right? As David HaMelech said, my sin is always in front of him. However, he says, but we don't want to be too machmir on him in order to make it easy for a person to return in tshuva, as we see from the Gemara, right? You don't have to like tear down your house to return the beam that you stole from someone, right? Shlotin ol delis, right? Not to shut the door in front of balei tshuva. We don't want to do that. And he says, indeed, we want the person to do tshuva. So that is the Ramah regarding this Avera. The next tshuva we have is not a tshuva, but some Shulchan Aruch regarding fasting in general. So there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch. Mihei machoitim leishe betanis. Who are those who it's a sin for them to fast? And first of all, it says only if you're able and you're healthy and you're able to fast, then nikra kadosh. But he says otherwise, nikra choite is a sinner. By the way, the poskim say if he is accepting a fast upon himself, he should not tell anyone. Obviously, it's mechze kiyohara. It looks like arrogance. Or to quote Rabbi Yosha Ber, there was a student back in the 1950s, I was told, before there was maybe one Sephardi, Eidot Mizrach in YU, and there were no Hasidim, Neo or otherwise. And so a guy asked Rabbi Yosha Ber, he wanted to put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam? So he asked, so the Shulchan Aruch says, it's only mutter for someone who is mefursim b'chassidus of Yerushalayim, otherwise it's mechzei kiyora. So the guy asked Rabbi Yosha Ber, he says, is it mechzei kiyora? Does it look like arrogance? So Rabbi Yosha Ber said, nein, dos is yohara. Doesn't look like it. It is arrogance. So telling people, no, thank you, I'm fasting today. That's not mechzei kiyora. That's classic yohara. I remember I had a Talmud at Or Sameach, a similar, it wasn't, not exactly the same, but close. He'd been frum for about 2 months, and I see him in the middle of the day wearing tefillin. I said, "What, did you sleep in?" He said, "No, I learned that you're supposed to wear tefillin all day, so I'm wearing tefillin all day." I said, I didn't put it like quite as sternly as this, but the guy's been frum for 2 months, is wearing tefillin all day. No one else is wearing tefillin the entire yeshiva, right? So I said, maybe you should ask some senior Torah scholar about this. He said, fine, let's ask Rav Scheinberg. So, of course, you know that Rav Scheinberg, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, used to wear multiple pairs of tzitzis, literally probably 30, 40 pairs of tzitzis. He used to wear tefillin all day. So the guy says, I want to ask Rav Scheinberg. Now, I knew Rav Scheinberg very well. I said, great, let's ask Rav Scheinberg. So we go into Rav Scheinberg together, and the guy looks at Rav Scheinberg. I said, go ahead, he speaks English. So he asks Rav Scheinberg, sitting there, literally 2 feet worth of tzitzis over him, talus, tefillin. The guy says, He says, I want to wear tefillin all day. My rabbi here said I should ask you. So Rav Scheiber looks at him and he says, and I quote, he says, what for? Just be normal. That's a quote. Anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch, literally from Rav Scheiber, that was like unbelievable. Anyway, all right. Now, but the Shulchan Aruch does say one of the other categories of people who should not be fasting, Talmud Chochom, Einoi Rashai Leishev Betanis. A Talmud Chochom is not allowed to just accept a fast upon himself. Because he's reducing his ability to learn. You can't learn as well when you're fasting. So it's interesting. And if you teach children, dinner's like a time of Chochom. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah says something fascinating. First of all, he says that it's, he says, I saw if a person wants to fast, instead of fasting, much better than not eating is not speaking. Take on a day and don't speak. That way, there'll be no damage to your body. There'll be no damage to the soul. You won't get weaker. Right? It's the ideal tanis. A person should make himself, give himself atonement or suffering, not through fasting from eating, and not through bodily suffering, by holding back his mouth and his desires by not speaking. And he also points out, when it says Talmud Chacham, it doesn't just mean you have to be an actual Torah scholar. It says, Mishatoroso Nusoi Nikra Talmud Chacham, and you say, Af Bizmanazeh. Even though there are various discussions about definition of Talmud Chacham in Yoradeya, etc., but regarding the halacha of not to fast, he says anyone who's learning Torah, Torosa umnusoi, you're learning Torah pretty much full time, he says that's considered a Talmud Chacham and you should not be fasting. And then in the Bir Halacha, he quotes something fascinating. He says from the Shalot, in the name of the Sefer Haredim, Rav Azkiri, who quotes from the Arizal. So the Shalot quoting from the Haredim, who quotes from the Arizal, Saba Kadish Luria Ashkenazi B'Sefer Echad Ksivas Yad. I saw in a handwritten book from the Arizal, Kol Mashatim Sabasigufim. All that we find regarding suffering as a means of doing tshuva, Lo Niskru Ela Lamisha Ein Amaloi B'Torah. It is only regarding someone who is not engaged in Torah study. Anyone who's learning Torah, the primary way in which they should atone for sin and which they should purify themselves is through Torah. And a few lines down, he quotes, he says, the Torah is nimshal la'esh, the Torah is compared to fire. V'chola sheyova ba'esh, ba'esh yuva v'taher, as the Pasuk says in Parashas Chukas, I think it is, that anything that was became treif through fire, the fire of the Yetzirah, can be purified through fire. If you skip ahead a bit, I'm just going to skip ahead to number, all the way to number 10. But in number 10 is a tshuva from, again, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, called Tshuvas van Hoggis. His Shailos and Tshuvas is very interesting. Rav Sternbuch, Zolgezun Zayin, who is the Av based in the Badats, was also started a kollel in Johannesburg, South Africa, which was the beginning of the tshuva revolution in South Africa. It's one of the only communities, that, at least I think the only community that I know of in the world, where an entire community was transformed. And literally there are thousands of Bali tshuva, and they're now third generation, but transformed. And he was one of the people who kindled the tshuva revolution in South Africa. And he has a whole section of his tshuvas about tshuva. And in one of the questions he's asked is about marrying. Someone was concerned about marrying a Baal Tshuva because his parents did not keep Taras HaMishpacha. And it's considered to be a pagam, a fault, that a Ben Nida, someone who is born of a union in which there was an Isra Adana prohibition, woman was a Nida, didn't go to the mikveh, the parents are not frum, there's that. So I'm not going to go through the Tshuva now, hopefully we'll get to it later, but one of the points he makes is, he says, let's grant that there is a pagam. Let's grant that. And there's a lot of tshuvas about this, Igros Moshe and stuff. But he says, even if we grant that there is a pagam, he says, the Torah, which he immerses himself in, will the fire of Torah will purify him of that. He says, much better than a mikveh. So he says, the mikveh, he's going to a mikveh of Eish. So he says, yes, it may be that there's a pagam. That's a machloikas, but let's say. He says, even so, as the Mishnah Berurah Bir Halacha says here, Kol Sheyova Be'esh, right, Yuva Be'esh B'Tahir, it will be purified by the fire of Taurus. That is how the Shulchan Aruch deals with it. Now, the Chacham Tzvi, which is the next Shuvah, and this is very interesting because the Chacham Tzvi, as we know, was very, very strict regarding searching out apikorsim, heretics, etc., and his son, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, even more so. So here's a tshuva that came to him from Candia, Asher Be'eretz Italia. Candia is now known today as Heraklion, which is a city in Crete. Crete, of course, is part of was Greece, but it was in the Italian Empire at the time. So it's Heraklion in Italy. So anyway, the question is this: Kal Kodesh Candia, Minu l'chosim Torah ish echad shezeshani b'yoyse toch ma'pecha shel Saloniki nefach l'das yishma'ilim kishom l'kasam shugoyim arishoyim hamaminim b'shatz. The story here is, as you all know, right, that Shabtai Tzvi Yimashmo converts to Islam 1666. However, there are a whole lot of Jews who converted with him to Islam in Salonika, in Izmir, and in other places. And they became secret. They actually worshipped Shabtai Tzvi. They engaged in every bizarre, perverse practice you can imagine, probably many that you cannot imagine. And they engaged in every Avera in the book. They're called the Donmeh. They still exist. The Donmeh, D-O-N-M-E-H. They're still Donmeh in Turkey and in Greece. They are openly Muslim, and they secretly worship Shabtai Tzvi. Okay, the single most bizarre Jewish sect that you could imagine, right? I don't think they're Jewish, but they have a lot of genetic problems because they only intermarry in the sect. So anyway, you've got a group who were in Salonika. This couple were part of the Donmeh sect, about as bad as you can get. Kasher chazra daito alav v'nifkuchu einav, he returned, his eyes open, v'roh kihem ayin v'efes v'chol maseim toil, he saw that the activities of this group were nothingness, were vanity. He returned, chazal adas emes, he returned to Judaism. V'osav tshuva nechoina, v'minaz v'hala b'torah shem chefzo, and from then on he is engaged in the Torah of Hashem, b'yashrus, in upright, hoylech tomim, etc. He does what he's supposed to do. Now, what happens is, v'yesh shekaru irur loymar, she'en aro liyos chosim Torah. The rov of the community in Crete, in Heraklion, Candia, gave this guy Chosun Torah. Amazing. Here's a guy who, a couple of months previous, was in the worst, most perverse, corrupt sect that you could possibly imagine in Yiddishkeit. He's come back to Torah, and the Rav gives him Chosun Torah. Unbelievable. That's usually reserved for the Rav, by the way. Right? So the people in the community were upset, which is, of course, also a minhag. Right? And he points out the following. He says that which he says we have that a koyen, kaven shahemu dasoi, einan Isaac, for example, a koyen who was an apostate cannot duchen. We'll talk about that a little more, right? He says that's because it's compared brocha to sheirus, the brocha, birchas kahanim is compared to sheirus, to avoida in the base hamikdash, and just as he's possible for avoida, he's possible for the brocha. And so also people say that someone who was part of the Sabbateans, Shehemir, even if he did tshuva, right, he cannot engage, he cannot be part of the Avoida, and they said also he could not read the Torah, etc. And here, the Chacham Tzvi says, Aval b'bal tshuva lo ala alev adam me'oilam l'moinam likros Torah. No one ever thought that this would apply to a Baal tshuva. Someone who's done tshuva for this, even for the most severe Averis, is accepted in Klal Yisrael, can be called up to the Torah. And if you skip, I'm sorry, but we're running out of time. But if you skip to the next boldface, he says there's a takana from a rabbi called Eliyahu Kapsuli, who from Sicily, I think he was, and he made a takana, Sheheviu Shehevi Bekai Gavra Shetiken Be'iroi, So then, okay, fine, he's a Baal Tshuva, he's no longer a Mumar, we accept him as a Baal Tshuva. By the way, the Chacham Tzvi is not worried about what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that we as a community will not accept someone. So this would be, I think, evidence for Rav Sternbuch, who said that if there's no evidence that he's doing his lignoid das abrius, or because of fear, of pachad, or deception, even we, the community, accept this Mumar. So that actually would be good evidence that Chacham Tzvi holds that way. He says, but even if you're worried, so that's A, Baal Tshuva, no problem in terms of the Psul Avoda. But he says, B, even if you're worried about Rav Kapsuli's Takana, that only an Odom Choshuv, an important man, should be called up for Chosim Torah, Ein ze monea ha'isha lezeh b'mitzvah zu, ki b'mokam shebalei tshuva oimdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim lamod, v'chashuvim heim, lifnei ha'mokam yisborach. He says, a person who's done tshuva, even though he was part of this horrific cult, right now, he's done tshuva, he's an Odom Choshuv. As the Gemara says, even in the place where a tzaddik cannot even stand, even in the place where the Baal Tshuva is, indicating that there is a chashivus, an importance, and a dignity to the person who has done tshuva, which will not even prevent him from being chosim Torah. Fascinating, fascinating tshuva. The next one is the Noda Yehuda. And I'm not going to read it inside because I'll run out of time. But the Noda Yehuda has a tshuva which sounds very contemporary. The Noda Yehuda was 18th century. A Jew had gone to London and he fell in love with an Indian woman. And they got married in a Hindu ceremony in London. He's a Kohen. So here's a Kohen in a Hindu ceremony to an Indian woman in London. I mean, this does sound contemporary, but, right? And now he's done tshuva. He divorced her, whatever, I don't know if they did Hindu, whatever the divorce was. He divorced her. He's now returning to Yiddishkeit, and he has come back. I think he lived in Prague. He's come back to Prague as a Kohen. He wants to know, can I do Nesias Kapayim? Can I duchen? Can I, right? So the Noda Yehuda goes through a long discussion. One of the things he points out is that the comparison of a brocha to sheirus is as only regarding avoida. He says, now this is say, a definite comparison between being masharis in the Beis HaMikdash and doing avoida in other way, like an actual avoider of the korbanos, that comparison, comparing that to duchening, is only an asmachta, he says. And he says, that's number one. And he says, number two, he says, that which a kohen has, which a kohen who has been oivet avoider zora cannot duchen, he says, only if he hasn't done tshuva. If he's done tshuva, then there's nothing standing his way. He does quote the Rambam. The Rambam says that even if he's done tshuva, he cannot engage in avoida. He says, but if you are following the Rambam holds that if he did the avoida zora out of ava or yira, meaning love or fear of a woman or of something, which he did here out of love of a woman, he did not do it out of accepting the Hindu gods as his god. He says it's not really avoida zora. Yes, it was a Hindu ceremony, but the Hindu ceremony doesn't require accepting the gods as God. It just requires going through the motions. And so consequently, he says that there's no question that he is actually accepted and he can duchen. He says similarly, horeg nefesh, right? Also, if a kohen killed someone, if he did tshuva, then he also is able to. This, of course, is a tshuva that was discussed a lot in Israel. Rav Avadya Yosef has a lengthy tshuva about this in Yabia Oimer. Israeli soldiers who are kahanim who've killed someone. So kohen shahorigas a nefesh, can they identify? So Rav Avadya Yosef shows that it's not the killing, it's the avera in killing. It's, if you killed and it was a sin, it was an avera, there's a different story. But he says if the guy's defending the Jewish people, so, and he kills an enemy, so then what he did was a mitzvah. It's not an avera. It doesn't disqualify him from duchening. Although I did hear that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik felt that it did disqualify. The very fact of having killed disqualifies. But I think the minhag ha'olam is to follow Rav Avadya Yosef. But here, what Noda Yehuda is saying is it's only in a case where it's where he has not yet done tshuva. But if he has done tshuva, as in the case of this kohen from London, he says, then it's not a problem for him to duchen. Again, I'm going to skip a little bit. The Chassan Sofer talks about the tshuva for someone who is a boil nida, which he says there are gidre tshuva, but he doesn't require the extent of the Chassidei Ashkenaz. Also, there's an interesting story. Shut Machaneh Chaim, who was Chaim Sofer, who was a poisek in Munkach and Pest, both in Hungary. He says, "Pam achas hay a sefer Torah munach al ateva af echad ma'akal ratzalaz pashta." They were reading Teuchacha. No one wanted the Aliyah. No one wanted the Aliyah. V'hochilu ad boish, and it was embarrassing. As kama Baron Ibershutz, benoy shalagon Reb Yonis and Ibershutz, Baron Ibershutz, a wealthy, the son of Reb Yonis and Ibershutz. Baron Ibershutz had been a member of followers of Shabtai Tzvi, and he did tshuva, and he came back to Yiddishkeit. And he's sitting in the shul, and he says, "Ashahaya bal tshuva, ama b'kol ram." He said loudly, "Chatasi ki yishati sefer Torah munach kachal ateva." I sinned because I left the sefer Torah open on the bima in this way. Lami roi shiyikru lefanav ha-toychacha im lo lefanai. Who better to have the toychacha, the rebuke, read before him than me? Shechatani, shechatasi harbe neged Hashem Yisbarach, because I sinned tremendously against Hashem. Ubireich b'kol gadol ala toychacha, and he made a very loud bracha. Ve'achasen soifer b'shoimer davaze hispale al kach shabaron hanal asher zera kodesh matzavasa machzavsa should be a chesed. Ve'koya ve'zocha lachzor b'tshuva shleima. The Amar Shizchus Avoysav Amdolo Lashuv Lashem Cholovav. The Chazon Sofer says, "Look," he says, "even though he did terrible averus, but the schus of his ancestors, Rabbi Yonson Ibershutz, and the great ancestors of Baron Ibershutz, were he was zoicher to do tshuva shleima, and this certainly was part of it that he said loudly in the tzibur." I accept upon myself this. Obviously, this is not necessarily relevant to us, but it is an interesting tshuva regarding tshuvas. Also, if you look at the next one, which is the No to be Yehuda, and he has his attitude to the various methodologies of tshuva, the kapara, yisurim, etc., the Hasidic Ashkenaz, is, as you might imagine, somewhat negative. If you have a look, the case is a particularly bizarre case, in which there was a yeshiva bocher who was staying at billeted at someone's house, and he had an affair with the married woman whose house he was at. Years later, he left. Years later, he comes back, and he has and he's given a shidduch with her daughter, who he marries. So now he wants to, awkward is not the word here, but what does he have to do? First of all, does he have to tell his father-in-law? The mafresh, his father-in-law from Avera, his wife committed adultery. They're not allowed to live together, right? Is he supposed to? That's one of the things he discusses. I mean, what the conversation that, like, can I call you dad, father-in-law, what, the shver? Like, you know, he says basically, it's really the woman's cheskas kashrus. She has got a cheskas kashrus. So her husband, the father-in-law, doesn't have to believe this guy. Because it's like one aid, neged, it's one witness against this woman's kashrus, right? She's considered a kosher Jew, unless I know otherwise through witnesses. But basically, when he comes to the tshuva, this guy has to do. So here, in the boldface section, he's asking me something difficult. I'm not used to answering. He says, things that I cannot find any source for in the Gemara, I usually don't answer. Kilomat sinu b'chol ha-Talmud, misbartanias, yomim, chalut sivu k'suvim, l'kol chet v'ashma. There is nowhere in the Gemara where we find set amounts of fasts for specific sins. Hein emes, shetzivim, shetzoyim k'siv v'posit, menevim, tzorek tshuva. It is true that fasting is written in the Nevi'im as a means of tshuva. Nevertheless, omnam, hadbalus misbartanasim, lo nisparish, lo b'kosuv, v'lo b'gemara, he says that most of the requirements of fasting and most of the numbers of fasts you have to do per sin, he says, are based on what we call, I'll translate Svaras Krasios, translate to English, Boich Svaras, and he says every book relies on the other book, and he says this is not something that should concern us. And there's many chumras here, and don't have to worry about them. He says, however, he also points out that a tarnis, a fast, is not ma'akev in tshuva. He says, it's a davar tofel. It's supposed to help you do tshuva. But if this person is now immersed in Torah study, and he appears to have refrained from the avera, then he says fasting is not something which he must do. It's not the type of thing that's going to prevent him from doing tshuva. And he says it's true that a Baal Tshuva should break, especially in an Avera that he did, such a serious Avera of Znus, and he did it for a long period of time. He says he certainly should be full of regret, remorse, and confess continuously to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It should be in front of him all the time. He says, Tarnis, fasting, he can be lenient about. But he says, Shvira Charota u'Shvira Saleiv Vabechi, he says, but regret, broken heart, and confession and crying, zenachutz me'od, v'amarbe bebechi b'mistar meshubach, the more he cries in private, the better. So he says, I'm not makel about tshuva. He says, I'm lenient about fasting, I'm not lenient about tshuva. And then he says, bold-faced, hine hasmada satorahu ikar, however, the primary, and then this is a theme that we saw in the Bir Halacha, it's a theme that we saw in the Rashbash, it's a theme that we saw in the, is hasmada satorah, immersion in Torah, that is, of course, the primary area of purity. I want to end with two other points. If you look at number 11, we skipped the Rosh Sternbuch I already mentioned. But number 11 is the Chidah, Mitbak Demos. And he says that, it's interesting, he was asked, the Gemara says there are Arba Chilukei Kapara. Person who's over on Mitzvah Sasei, does tshuva, immediately forgiven. Then there's another level, which is a Lois Sasei, and that requires Yom Kippur. And then there's one which requires Yisurim. And there's one which requires Misa Chalila. So the Chidah was asked about this, and he says, interestingly, and this is not only the Chidah, there are others who say this as well, he says that all of those Dalit Chilukei Kapara are only talking about tshuva meyira, if a person does tshuva out of fear of punishment. But a person does tshuva me'ava, that's immediately accepted, no matter what the avera was. That's the Chidah's Chidosh here, right? That tshuva me'ava is an immediate acceptance. You don't need the Yisurim, you don't need Yom Kippur, you do not need Chas V'Shalom, anything else. Tshuva, only for tshuva meyira, tshuva me'ava. And he says, the Gemara says, poskim say that if a person's here a bit tshuva, he says to a woman, hareat mekudeshet, you are betrothed to me, al manasha ani tzadik gamor, because on condition that I'm completely at tzadik. The Gemara says, it's a safek, the poskim says, it's a safek kiddushin. Why? Because maybe he did tshuva. So the Chidah says, you know what? It's only the only reason it's a safek kiddushin is not because the tshuva is not accepted. It's because we don't know for sure that he did tshuva. But if we would have access and know for sure that the guy did tshuva, me'ava, on the spot, tshuva out of love of Hashem on the spot, it will be kiddushin vadai. It's just we don't have access to that knowledge. But he says tshuva me'ava is vadai. We'll end with a few ideas from Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Shalmei Moed, which is on the Moadim. First of all, he says, people ask for mechila without specifying what they did wrong. You know, someone comes over and says, I really want to ask sincere mechila. I'm always curious, what did you do, right? You know, why, right? He didn't just say slicha mechila, you know, the formula, right? He says, please be moed for me. And I'm right. So he says, that would be okay for pegiya kala, for a minor, if I did something minor to you. But if it was something major, then there should be more specificity. However, it's interesting to note a machloikus between the Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter regarding if you said Lashon Hara about someone. And revealing to what you said about the person will cause them further tsar, right? Will cause them further pain. Are you obligated, in part of the mechila, do you have to say, listen, I said Lashon Hara, I said that you are X, Y, or Z, please be moich for me. So the Chafetz Chaim, and he quotes here in Sefer Chafetz Chaim, says, yes, you have to tell him. In order to get Bechili, you have to tell him. However, if you saw Salanter, and this is, by the way, how Rosh Shlomo Zalman Paskins, he says you do not have to, if that's going to cause him greater pain, you should actually not say it. And you should just ask for Mechila from this person. Chen Savar Abenu, ima nifka eni odea shupagabo, ukshiyishma mat yapid, lo yisafa loy klal shupagaboy, eli yivakish rak Mechila belayv. He says you don't even have to, he's saying just in your heart, but Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says you should just say a general asking for mechila. And then one more thing from Rosh Shlomo Zalman, which is very beautiful, which is the very end, and he says, Ulam b'nogeh l'balei tshuva, shengen b'alei das, nir lani is daiti, demistaver, shetanesim v'siguvim einan kruin klal kolodom, fasting and suffering is not something which is a set obligation for every person. There's also a difference in generations and times. I guess if you lived in Europe 200 years ago, you actually fasted most of the time just because you were poverty stricken. So another day, not right? Aval, he says, Choshvani shebizmanenu tzrichim loymar lekol hashavim be'emes midarkam hara. One thing you have to tell every single person who returns from their evil path. Shem chayavim lahamin. They should believe be'emunah shleima, with complete belief. Shakodesh Baruch Hu moichel v'saleach lekol hashavim ela be'emes, that Hashem will forgive and will atone for every person who returns to him in truth. V'gam yachad in tzaram ala avar, v'hem tzrichim gam lehoidois ula halel la Hashem, shenosim ha'ilev meivin lashuv ela be'emes. Three things, he says. A, belief that Hashem will forgive us. Number two, to regret what they did. And number three, to give thanks to Hashem that he is willing to accept tshuva. There's a very beautiful, I suggest looking at it before Yom Kippur, is called Drosha ala Kivui. It's a one-page drosha by the Ramchal about the idea of hope, tikva. He says that is the most central word in the Torah. And he says it is the belief that A, I am chaser, I am lacking. B, my hisorim, that which I lack, can only be fulfilled by Hashem. And C, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and nothing is stopping him from doing everything that is needed to bring me to a higher level, to give me all the good that I need and everything else. And he says that is the meaning of tikva. He says that is the meaning of hope. And it creates a kav, which is the connected to the word, a line that connects me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says the person who has hope is always besimcha. And the person who has hope, and that Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think, he doesn't quote the Ramchal here, but he's saying a similar idea, that part of doing tshuva is the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to forgive me, that Hashem will forgive me, and to thank Hashem for the opportunity for allowing me to actually do tshuva. So that's a little bit of an introduction to Shalos and Tshuvas. You have outlines here, so Tein Lechacham Miechkam Od, and thank you for coming. Gemar Chasima Toiva to everyone.